Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
And welcome to the Kathy Barnett Show. I am so excited about today's show. But, you know, I have to mention my flagship station, WPHT 1210, the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia that covers most of the Mid-Atlantic. So how y'all doing? Make sure if you are watching me on YouTube that you subscribe. A lot of you are watching but not subscribing. So make sure you hit that subscribe button and then you can find me wherever you listen to your shows. But I'm so excited about today because coming off of last week with the abysmal performance from an electoral perspective all across the nation, It was some really sad days. It was some sad moments. And I just thought to myself, you know what? I am so sick of being sad and angry and frustrated and mad and confused about what to do next. And this particular, my guest, just popped into my head. You guys, I'm sure many of you saw him as I did. Jason Hewlett, how are you, sir? Let me bring you right on in.
I'm thrilled to be with you. What a great day.
It is a great day. I was saying to Jason right before we went on air here that the first time I saw him, you were at Tucker Carlson. It was during Tucker Carlson's live tour across America, and it was right before the 2024 presidential election. And you came to Reading, Pennsylvania, and Tucker Carlson was going to be there with Alex Jones. Talk about, you know, throwing a grenade into a crowd. Jack Posobiec was going to be up there. And I was ready. I was ready for the red meat Tucker was going to bring. I was ready to dissect it. I was ready to be angry. And right before Tucker came out on stage, Jason, you walked out. And you walked out singing and doing some impersonations. And my first thought was, oh my goodness, can he just get off stage already so I can get to Tucker? And before I knew it, you're singing God Bless America by Lee Greenwald. My phone is up in the air. The light on my phone is out. I'm swaying back and forth. I'm crying. I'm singing. I'm kumbaya. I'm remembering why we're in the battle in the first place. And it is not about red shirts versus blue shirts. It quickly became God truly bless our country. And I just remember like a shift happening in my own mind and in my own spirit. And it was a wonderful resetting of intentions, like an emotional cleanse right before Tucker walked out. And I, 2 years later, I still have not forgotten that. I follow you now. And that's how I felt after last week's election, is that I needed a reset. We need to remember why we're in the battle in the first place. And I reached out and you said you were available and I'm grateful.
Wow, Kathy, that's an incredible introduction. And the fact is, I know that that's a tricky place for me to start a show because everyone's there to see somebody else. And when I get out on that stage and start singing, everybody's like, what's going on? Why is he here? And then what's fun?
Why is he so happy?
Why is he so happy? What's wrong with this guy? The world is a miserable place. Come on, buddy. And really, my intention is to bring joy to all patriots, to those who don't even feel patriotic, and to bring them together in order to see if we can unite America. And that was really my intention to be on that tour, to warm up a crowd, usually that had been frisked by the Secret Service before they got in and or were standing in the rain, other things that were a little bit miserable getting in there. But once they were inside, we wanted to entertain them, bring joy, make them feel proud to be an American. And that was the intention. I'm so glad that you remember me because, Kathy, I'll be honest, I didn't know if very many people would remember that because I was the least important part of the event, and I knew that. But my intention was to warm up everybody for the stars, and that was what was really the fun part about it. So thank you for remembering me.
You know what? And let me just, you know, reset your intentions, because you may have thought you were the least important. But again, I'm here as someone who did not know you prior to that moment. And I remember a shift in my heart taking place. And I remember a different mindset when the other speakers came on after you. And it was, you know, it's no small thing. You know, and I was thinking as I was preparing for this this conversation with you, I was reading, I love studying the book of Revelations. It's one of my favorite books. It's one of those books that forces you to study almost every other book in the Bible if you really want to understand what's going on. And I see it actually as the ultimate love story. I know, wild and crazy, but you really have to, you know, take your time and move through it. And it's not lost on me that in chapter 2, starting with these seven letters that John sends out to the seven churches, the first letter of the seven went to a church in Ephesus. And, you know, the other six letters, you know, there's a lot of craziness going on. There's a lot of wickedness. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of sexual immorality going on. I mean, it's chaos. But the very first letter that goes out talks about this particular church who is fighting the good fight against evil, against wrongdoings, against the manipulations and the grift that is happening all around. And the first letter goes out to say, I see all that you're doing. I'm so grateful for the work that you're doing, but I have something against you. You've lost your first love. And as you double click on that, it talks about losing the joy of why you're in the battle in the first place. And that's what I was thinking about as I was moving out of last week, is that this is, you know, this is bad. We have a, if you listen to Steve Bannon, the guy who won the mayoral race in New York, you know, Steve Bannon labeled him a jihadist, Marxist, Bolshevik, communist. That's pretty bad. And yet I'm feeling like I'm tired of being angry. I have a lot of joy in my heart, and I think we have to revive that.
I love how you say that, and I do need to revisit Revelations, but I think we're living in a time where people think it's red versus blue. In reality, it's joy, it's good versus evil. It's how can we bring joy and be grateful for the opportunities we have in this great country? How can we bring our best selves to that part of it? And what I love about you is that you continue to be a voice for good in this country, to bring all that's great about democracy and about our Constitution, faith and family and freedom. So God bless you for that and for bringing the joy back.
Absolutely. Guys, listen, I've already jumped in the deep end without even introducing who my guest is. This is Jason Hewlett. You're actually on tour with Megyn Kelly right now. I first saw you on the tour with Tucker Carlson. You were doing some great things. Guys, hold on. You're listening to the Kathy Barnett Show. I'll be right back after this break.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Hello, everyone. You're listening to the Kathy Barnett Show. And with me is Jason Hewlett. Let me give you guys a little bit more of his bio. Having delivered thousands of presentations over 2 decades, Jason Hewlett is the world's only keynote speaker utilizing entertainment, musical impressions, and comedy to teach leaders how to capture their unique leadership promise and signature moves. He has performed in every major casino in Las Vegas, is one of the youngest inductees in the prestigious Speaker Hall of Fame, and is the author of the acclaimed self-help book, The Promise to One. Husband, father, writer, mentor, hiker, coach, Jason, thank you so much for, again, being on the show with me. I saw you for the first time. You were the opening act. I would have called you a comedian for the Tucker Carlson tour that went across the nation right before the 2024 election. And now you are in the midst or towards the end of the Megyn Kelly tour across the nation. You've really jumped into the deep end, because I was looking at something else on your website and you said, here's my promise. You said, my promise is to spread joy through inspirational messages, comedy, music, and encouraging the right for freedom of speech. I agree. But then you go on to say, my performances are never political, and I love everyone on all sides of the aisle, and I work hard to uplift, and you go on and on. And I say that with a little side energy because, of course, politics is in everything. And I met you on stage with one of the most political lightning rods, Tucker Carlson. He's not the middle of the road kind of guy. Megyn Kelly is not the middle of the road kind of guy. MAGA is not middle of the road. You either love us or you want nothing to do with us. And here you are walking in talking about peace and love. And how has that been working out for you?
Well, candidly, you put it very well. I have been thrown into the deep end.
Yes.
And for the last 25 years, I've made a living on stages for corporations, associations, and other events where they needed somebody who was essentially someone who came in and made everybody laugh, everybody sing, have a great time. And I was never to do anything political in any of those spaces because otherwise they wouldn't want me there. And so being the unifier, being somebody who brings others together was always the mission. Right. And the philosophy is truly to say, hey, let's just be grateful we're all part of this beautiful country, the greatest country that's ever existed, the United States of America. And how can I bring something of a promise performance to them where they're going to have a great time regardless of the material that's presented. It's not going to be anything they'll be worried about. In fact, kids could come, grandparents, everybody in between. And so I love being that guy. Finding myself on tour with Tucker Carlson was obviously eye-opening because I had never done anything quite like it. Now with Megyn Kelly, and I've learned so much from her as well. She's such a pro, just like Tucker. They're so great. Right. I had never been a part of the MAGA world. I had been very much in the middle, like I said, able to perform anywhere for anyone at any time, and with that intention of bringing joy and laughs to everybody that's there. And so it's been a really wild experience, to be candid. I've lost a lot of friendships. I've lost a whole lot of opportunity in terms of the people that said they can no longer book me because I'm a part of these things. And so this really has helped me to figure out for myself what I believe, what I stand for, what's important. And that's not to say that losing opportunity, you know, is easy, but it is something that I decided I need to stand for something. And so being a part of this tour with Megyn Kelly this year has been really different from the Tucker Carlson tour where you saw me.
How is Megyn Kelly tour very different from Tucker Carlson? Is it because you were walking into the Tucker Carlson without much awareness and now you're with, some time has passed, a couple of years have passed, and now you're with Megyn Kelly and now you're walking in with eyes wide open? You see things differently than before?
Absolutely. Yeah. With the Tucker Carlson tour, which was only last September of 2024, what I found was this was a political lightning rod. And all I knew about Tucker Carlson was that I just thought he was a guy with a bow tie on CNN. Like, that's literally how much I didn't know about him. And I went in as essentially a crowd energizer. Our company, Cardio Miracle, which is a health supplement, had sponsored his stop in Salt Lake City, Utah with Glenn Beck, where Glenn was Tucker's guest. And so as I went in just as essentially a representative of Cardio Miracle, I'm opening the show. And it went so well because I not only did comedy and music impressions, but also infused this patriotism piece where I'm singing God Bless the USA and everybody's got their lights, like you were saying. That made me realize, oh, this is really a major movement here. And I admit I was apathetic. I had really very little idea about all of that I was getting into. And over the next few weeks as I went on tour with Tucker, because apparently they kind of decided to dismiss all the other people that were ready to open for those shows, they asked me to come along. It was a great honor. But I also was watching my whole life sort of fall apart, friendships leaving, people upset with me. It was an election season, obviously. And pretty soon, a guy whom I had never voted for, named Donald J. Trump, I decided, oh, this is my guy. This is my team. I'm very much all in with that. And what happened next was I lost essentially all of my work for 2025, which has been really rough. And then when Megyn Kelly called about the tour, because, you know, hearing I did it so well with Tucker Carlson, I thought, well, I guess I'm all in now. So I jumped in with Megan, and I'll tell you, Megan's is great on camera, and she's even better off stage. She's just a spectacular human being. And I think to myself, if I'm leaning with these types of folks that I really admire, that I see that they're standing for the Constitution, for freedom of speech, for family, for faith, for all these things that I believe in too, then if that's the direction they're headed, then I will too. And I'm grateful for their strong voices to help me in a time where I was really, Kathy, I was very scared. I mean, I was weak and I had not been educated. I had not opened my eyes to these things. I am a man of faith and a man of God, and I had focused on my family and providing a living for 25 years. And now stepping into a political space and arena has really turned my world upside down in the right ways.
Wow.
And I'm grateful for that. It's better to stand for something than fall for everything. And so I'm so grateful for the opportunities that I've had.
Wow. My heart is just leaping with joy, because another letter that was sent out of the seven letters that went out in the book of Revelation is one letter that went to a church that was just apathetic. They were lukewarm. And this one had the greatest rebuke from Jesus. Jesus said, "You make me sick to my stomach, so much so I want to regurgitate." That's how... But, you know, and I see some people, you know, and I understand it's not easy, right? I mean, imagine being Black and then saying, "I'm a conservative and I'm going to live like a conservative and I'm going to talk like a conservative and I'm going to vote like a conservative," and then losing all of your Black friends, losing family members, but believing that this is right. And our culture needs people who are not going to stick their head in the sand, because quite honestly, it is safer to stick your head in the sand for a period, right? Ignorance is always bliss for a moment, but there's a high price that comes with that. And so we're out here, happy warriors, fighting the good fight. And then you see what happens last week in these elections all across America. Our side lose big. You see some on our side kind of oblivious to, you know, to, I mean, like they've been placed into a position of authority, yet they're not operating in the manner in which we believe they should. And it can get exhausting, the battle. And then as I was coming out of last week, I just thought to myself, you know what? I'm off of Twitter. I'm coming off of all of these things. I'm going to spend more time in the Word, spend more time with my family, and just find reasons to remember. The book of Hebrews actually talks about remembering. I know this station is not a Christian station, but you know, you have people walking around talking about their faith of all other kinds of faith. And no one seems to, if I talked about being transgender, which I'm not, everyone would pause and allow me the space to talk about it. You start talking about Jesus and the Bible, all of a sudden people start clutching their pearls. But, you know, but in the book of Hebrews, for example, constantly is saying, remember why you got into this fight. Remember what has been done. Remember the wins. Remember the joys. And I think that is important to kind of bring that understanding forward, even in a political space like this.
You say that so beautifully. I just admire how well-spoken you are and well-versed. And ignorance is bliss. And I believe it's also a great life's miss, if you will, because the fact is, as I became more educated, the more I realized, oh, this is why I never got into it in the first place, because it became almost this burden to realize how much I had turned a blind eye to. And so if anybody's ever sitting there thinking, I don't know if I like what's going on in my state or my city or who's just been elected, then my question is, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to shine your light and raise your voice and stand for something and give back to this country? How are you going to make your family the best family they can be? How are you going to make yourself the best you can be? It's not to say we're trying to be perfect. It's a matter of saying, how can I infuse God into my life enough through the spoken word? And I absolutely am with you. The more that I get into the political side of learning what I didn't know, the more I have to turn back to the word of God in the Bible. And I'm so thankful for that kind of instruction, because when we open the words of God, that is him speaking to us. And I'm so thankful for the fact that I get to do that if I so choose, but it's up to me to open the book. It's up to me to raise my voice, and it's up to all of us to stand for something.
I know. Stand for something or what? Fall for anything? Is that how it goes?
That's it. There you are.
And I think that this is the climate in which we're in. When I see people saying, oh, I don't want to talk about it, I'm just like, it's such a polarizing environment in which we're living in. And that is so unfortunate. We're going to come back. You're listening to the Kathy Barnett Show. I am talking with my guest, Jason Hewlett. See you guys in a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
And you're back. You're listening to the Kathy Barnett Show on the number one talk radio station in Philadelphia. Really, it's all of Pennsylvania. I don't even know why we say Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the number one market by far in our state of Pennsylvania, but it also covers most of the Mid-Atlantic. So how y'all doing over there, New Jersey, Delaware, Maryland? What's up? Thank you so much for listening to the Kathy Barnett Show. Also, remember, you can also see the video because I am really cute, as well as my guests. So I know you want to see us. So go over to YouTube and you can click there. And in fact, it's a really special treat if you can go over to the YouTube page, because you will only be able to see the faces, because Jason Hewlett is not only a comedian in words, but he also does a lot of impersonation. So let me just turn it over to you, because I want to give you ample time. Talk to me, Jason.
Well, thank you, Kathy. Yeah, I do hope that they'll go check this out on YouTube, because just listening to it will not do it justice. The fact is that whenever I get on a stage, I'm doing music and impressions and these types of things. But I also say that every single person has what I call a signature move. And when I do a voice of somebody, that's really just me leaning into their signature sound, the essence of their voice. And so if I were to say somebody that's a maybe more of a voice that a lot of people could do, I do singing impressions. So I might do Louis Armstrong back to the 50s and 60s, like, I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. You know, so that's like a voice that a lot of people probably can do. And yet what I like to do is say, what if everybody sounded like that? It'd be no variety of life, right? And so thankfully people sound different. I do other voices like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Christmas, Christmas, time is near. Time for thrills and time for cheer.
And then as I teach this on stage as an entertainer and as a speaker, I also say, so what's your voice? What is your signature move that brings the light that only you can? And that's where I share about how as a kid I found out that I was different than everyone else because somebody saw that I could do something with my face that was unique. It was my dentist. And my dentist, as he pulled the tool out of my mouth, my lip stayed like that. And he was like, how do you do that? I said, I don't know. He said, stop. So I did. And then he said, can you do it again? And I could. I could control this part of my face. And my dentist looked at me and he said, that's your gift. And I said, this is my gift. And I looked to heaven and I said, thank you. And so I like to tell audiences that this is what I've got. So what do you have? And obviously, this is just a play on words to say that all of us have something that maybe we're not being brave enough to share with the world, and yet we've worked at it our whole lives to be able to do it well. I found out when I was a kid that I couldn't only do the right side, but I could do the other side, and that I could go back and forth. Now, the question was, did I hide this under a bushel? No, I set it on a hill to be seen. This is Matthew 5, 14 through 16. I think we know that, right? And I found out I could catch a wave like the ocean. Oh, yeah. And why do I share this on stage? Because it makes the audience laugh, but it also hopefully gives courage to share what makes you uniquely who you are. And that we need to continually discover more of the gifts that God sent us here to share. And so let's say you're working in your job. What if you got the job doing one specific skill set, and because you're now there for a certain amount of time, you're learning, you're growing, you're studying on YouTube, or you're taking college courses, whatever it may be, improving yourself, getting to another level of being able to utilize your skill set so you're more valuable and you have a greater performance. So I share that as part of the teaching of the faces. I could do the top lip. What about the bottom lip? Oh, yeah. I mean, this took me a while to figure out and to talk at the same time. That's what's fun, you know. And
oh my gosh.
And I know it's weird looking, right? Kathy's hiding her eyes. I apologize. But what I love about it is that I'm not going to hide this because I know that it makes people smile and they don't realize that I made a promise to share it. Wow. Any chance I get, because it does make people smile. So if I get in an elevator anywhere, you know, those people don't know that I made a promise to make them laugh. So the elevator opens, I'm like, hey, you going up? You know, it's fun to mess with people because they're not expecting that. And why would they? And how can we show up in our place of power and share our gifts and raise the light with our performance? That's pretty much some of the comedy meets inspiration that I do on stage.
I'm like literally crying.
Sorry if I scared you.
You guys, you got to go to the YouTube page to check out the video and to see the lips. The thought of an elevator door opening and you standing there talking to me like that.
Hi, you going up?
Priceless.
People are already uncomfortable enough in the elevator, right?
Exactly.
I love to get in there and just look at them. I don't turn my back. I just look at them and I go, what you seen that's been weird today? You know, and most of the time people will laugh because they're like, what is this guy doing? And I love messing with people. It's fun, especially in New York. That what's funny about New York, like, I know your audience is Pennsylvania or surrounding areas, but like New York is the best. I do that in the subway and then they do it back to me. They're like, oh yeah, I can do that too. You know, so especially with how New York's going to be from now on, everyone will be running around like, ah, so.
I know. Look, my makeup has just smeared. I'm crying. Like, this is so funny. Have you ever had anyone to look back at you and not find it humorous, but find it weird?
All the time. Yeah, it happens the most when I do the nose wiggle. And I don't think that there is really anybody around that can do the nose. And this is why people aren't sure how to respond. So like I'll ask a waiter, I'll say, hey, do you have any carrots? You know, and they look at me like, I don't know if he's having a seizure or what's going on. And then I say, what's in the sauce? Because I don't know what you guys put in the sauce. And they're like, okay, what is happening? A lot of people don't laugh. And it's okay. It's like, they just don't know how to respond.
Because also probably because we've been trained to just take humor out of everything. For one, we're so sensitive in offending people that we don't even pause to like, wait a minute, what's going on here? But we have to, you know, like it could be a condition, and I don't want to be called phobic of some kind. So people have been trained almost to not laugh, but that is clearly hilarious. And you guys have to go to my YouTube page on Kathy 4, the number 4 Truth, Kathy 4 Truth. I was thinking, because I did see, you know, researching you and looking at some of your videos, knowing you were going to come on, I saw the expanded version of the dentist conversation. And of course I was just cracking up. And I thought to myself, well, what's my signature move? I don't have any.
Right.
I don't have any in a, you know, like a facial impersonation. But I was actually kind of thinking about it. I didn't think about it long. But as I'm sitting here and talking to you, and I would have never considered this to be a gift. But when you're running for public office and you're always out there in the public, people would always come and say, you're so brave. You're so brave, because I was never confused about a boy being a girl. And I never played that game. And I'm not rude about it, but you're not going to force me to tell a lie, especially with my children standing right there next to me. And I would just say it in rooms of hundreds or thousands of people and just move. And people would come and say, you're so brave. And I would think to myself, that doesn't feel like bravery. That feels like one, common sense, but it also just feels like another Saturday. Like this is what you do. I don't know. Can that be a signature move, truth telling?
Kathy, I can tell you this. A lot of people that have watched me do the signature moves piece, they have thought to themselves the very same thing. They're like, I don't really know what mine is, so how am I supposed to discover it? I came up with what I call the ICM process in order to discover what yours is. And I stands for identify, mm-hmm. C for clarify, and M for magnify. So if you were to identify just by writing down some of the things you think that make you unique, that's kind of what you determine are your signature moves. But the C part of ICM process, clarify, is the part that I think where you would ask somebody else to help you clarify what they see in you that you have yet to identify. So when I was a kid, I found out I could do the faces, right? That made me funny. I identified as a funny guy. And then a teacher heard me singing in the hall. And when she heard me sing in the hall, she clarified what I'd yet to identify, that I am a singer. And so I'm so grateful that someone else saw something in me I didn't see in myself. And I would like to just clarify for you that, yes, you're absolutely correct. You are a truth teller. You're a truth seeker. You're brave and courageous. And people see you as an inspirational person. And what I would recommend is in the YouTube comments of this episode, if we wanted to ask your viewers to even clarify for you what they see in you, why do they tune in? Why do they listen? Why do they follow you? Why do they love you? There are so many words you're going to get from your audience that you're going to be blown away by. And then you can take what you've identified, clarified, and then magnify it to the world and do it even more. You're already a truth teller. You're already brave. We're already seeing the greatness of your work. And so as you do that, you get more opportunity to share and keep the promise every day.
How about that? Praise the Lord. Guys, you are listening to the Kathy Barnett Show with my guest, Jason Hewlett. Thank you so much, sir, for being on. We're going to come right back for the last segment. Hold on, guys.
This is Talk Radio 1210, WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hello, everyone. We are back. This is the last segment. This is what I wanted. It really is kind of like an emotional cleanse. I come on here, I talk about economics, we talk about Venezuela, communism, we talk about all of that stuff. I just really felt like I felt it for myself, and I'm believing many of you probably feel the same thing. And not only that, that it's time for an emotional cleanse, but I was thinking from a purely selfish perspective, Jason. Most of us ladies know that anger, frustration, stress spikes cortisol. And cortisol is responsible primarily for belly fat. And I want to release the belly fat and just laugh. I'm tired of being triggered. I'm tired of being told I have to be upset at all times. If you spend any amount of time on Twitter, I mean, it's just constant rage baiting, just constantly being stressed out. Not to say there aren't reasons to be stressed. And yet realizing that there has to be a balance. We have to go out here and joy is not just, it's not just a pastime. I believe it can be a weapon. It's not just a luxury, but I believe it is a weapon that we can use in keeping ourselves centered and preparing ourselves for the next battle, because there's a battle raging. And I'm so grateful, Jason, that you and others are waking up and joining the fight, because it's been brutal out here of trying to, you know, hold the line until we can get some reinforcements. And many of us who have been out here for some time, it's exhausting. And yet there's still a place for us in this battle as we welcome in a reinforcement to come in and help us hold the wall. I'm just going to leave it there. What are your thoughts?
Yes, I 100% agree. And I can just tell you, and with your own words that you said, a Black woman in the Republican space, right? That is such a essentially a risky type of thing to be, and yet you lean all in as a most beautiful, powerful person. And each of us have that opportunity to choose that if we do. And so when I started to kind of inch my way over and going on the Tucker Carlson tour, and all of my friends on the left were saying, "What are you doing? You're throwing your career away. This is crazy. You're not going to have any opportunities in the future if you do this." That led me into a space of saying, I better start researching what is so bad about it. Like, what is the problem here? I didn't get it. And the more I researched it, the more that I realized I was only media consumption of the left. And I started to listen to more of the the conservative and some of the stuff on the right, that changed a lot for me in order to say, oh, I feel a bit more of a connection here. And so as people are starting to wonder for themselves, how can I be the person that I want to be? Where is it going to stand? I think a lot of times we need to choose our media well and right, mm-hmm. and only consume so much of it before it consumes us completely.
And on either side.
On either side. And I think it's important to consume both to a certain degree, to be able to know where everybody stands and what they're thinking. And that just allows us to not only be more educated, but inspired as to which direction we ought to go. And as I've chosen the path that I have, it's been wonderful to be able to find people like yourself that I can align with and say, oh, I'm so glad I'm not just this lonely island out here, as so many of my friends and family and business relationships have essentially been pushed over to this side. It's been really fascinating to be a part of it. And I'm grateful for a voice like yourself and for others that I have found that I said, this is who I align with. I'm so grateful for that. And when it comes to turning off the media as well in its own right, to say, I'm going to just let God speak to me. I'm just going to take a walk. I'm going to go outside and work out, maybe go on a hike. I'm going to just spend time with my family and put my phone down. And I talk a lot about this in my speeches. I say that as quickly as a phone can connect you to the world, it can just as easily disconnect you to your family. And so what are the ways that we can be more present with the people that we love the most, with the activities we really aspire to become and do? And I'm just thankful that I've had the chance to get to chat with you, because now that we've had this conversation, I'm now a champion of your work, and it allows me to tell more people about you. And even though my audience isn't nearly as large as yours, it just gives me an opportunity to share more.
Oh, please. You're on stage with Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly. That's pretty cool. And I'm so grateful to God as I'm watching him open up the eyes of people. And I think it's nothing like walking outside of your bubble and now being forced to interact with other people, different backgrounds, and to begin to realize that everyone does not have to agree with me. In fact, most people do not agree with me, and yet there's still worth there. There's still value there. They are not to be dismissed. And then, you know, and then it causes you to lean in to find the humanity in all of us and to find those things that actually connect us, which has caused me to speak less in terms of red shirts versus blue shirts, elephant versus jackass, which is not a cuss word, by the way. Isaiah chapter 2. Yeah, I remember asking Jesus, is that a cuss word? It is not. It is there, Isaiah chapter 2. But nonetheless, it causes you to look beyond the partisans divide and begin to just listen to people. And I think that's where we are. There are people in this country who have lost their mind, and you would do better to avoid them at all costs. But the overwhelming majority of people I find traveling the nation is they're good people. But you really do have to lean in to see the humanity in all of us. And I think it's an exercise that is worthy of us doing.
Well, you say it so beautifully, and you're correct. When I think of the people on the liberal side or the left, whatever you call it, I think to myself, you know, the more that I've leaned into the conservative side, the more that I want to know how I can be helpful to everybody and to be able to listen to their needs and thoughts. And that's why I do my best to bring unity and peace and joy to everybody, regardless of their level of patriotism in that sense. And I have made a living as a speaker, but I make a life as a listener. And when we think of the ways that other people speak and discuss and or close off the conversation, that's where the opportunity to grow dies. And I think that when we think about a guy like Charlie Kirk, who was just out there listening, and he was teaching and preaching, and he wasn't disparaging other people. He was just saying, this is what truth is. This is what God's word is. Right. This is the Constitution. This is what this means. It was so interesting to watch his work. And, you know, Kathy I wrote a song about Charlie right before the tour with Megyn Kelly. I remember asking them if it would be okay to do it in the show of comedy, music, impressions and stuff. And they said, we'd be happy to have you do that. So I've had the chance now, because when I posted the song for the first time on YouTube, it was snuffed out. It was stamped down on all the social media channels wherever I posted it. And it's really interesting because the song says, you spoke the truth. You gathered the youth. You showed the proof. You raised the light and you were right. Hey, Charlie, now it's all gone. How could you be gone? How do we stay strong? It seems way too long. Hey, Charlie, here's your song. And as I go through this song about somebody who opened that conversation, my hope is that people won't think like he was right or wrong or evil or good or all of those types of things, but rather we are here to raise the light and we are here to stand for truth. And when we open that conversation and have that dialogue, regardless of our beliefs, can we all say that we are a part of this greatest country that's ever been?
Amen.
And all be grateful to be an American?
That is the desire of my heart. And it still pains me when I think about what happened to Charlie and to his family and just kind of extrapolating it, because it didn't just happen to him. But something in our nation has been broken as a result of that. And it pains me when I think about how quickly both sides of the political aisle have moved right past that moment in many respects and have found ways to monetize it on both sides. And it pains me because I love my country. And I do the things that I do because I want to preserve this nation for my babies and for your babies, because I think we have inherited something really special. And now I laughed. Now I'm crying. How do you want to end this?
Let's end it with a little Lee Greenwood. If tomorrow all the things were gone, I'd worked for all my life. And I had to start again with just my children and my wife. I thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom. They can't take that away. I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died who gave that right to me. I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA.
Amen. Woo! I almost wanted to get my phone and turn it on and just start swaying again in the wind. Oh my goodness. This is the greatest country. Look at that. This is the full evolution. I almost feel like a schizophrenic up here, but I'm not. I'm not bipolar. I start off laughing, then crying, and now again being remembered. And I think this is what I was thinking when I thought about bringing you on, is there are a lot of reasons to stress out. There are a lot of reasons to be very fearful. And yet there is something I remember Charlie saying at the end of almost all of, you know, the different times I would hear him speak, is that we have a country to save. And it's not for the sake of saving the country, but this nation has been used as a beacon of light across the world, filling a vacuum that has done more good, I believe, than bad. We are not perfect, right? But I believe there is no one running a close second to America. And we have to find a way to be sad, to be angry, and then to find the joy and the warmth and get out there. Jason, thank you so much for coming and sharing some of your light with us today.
What a pleasure to be here. Thank you. God bless America. God bless your family.
Yes. Amen. You guys have been listening to The Kathy Barnett Show. Go out there. Find me wherever you listen to podcasts and radio. I am there in the wind. Blessings.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.